Sarita Reyes, and I am the Vice President of MECHA, which stands for Movimiento Estudiantil Chicano de Aztlán. We have been active on campus for more than 45 years. We stand for social justice, and we have been sponsoring these monthly forums. Hope you enjoy the forum, and now Lorna, the chair of the forum committee.
Thank you, Sarita. Thank you, Sarita, and thank all of you for being here. I'm Lorna Wilkes Rubelman, the chairman of the forum committee. And our Democratic Party has sponsored these forums for a couple years now, and our chairman, Mary Hovett, is out of town. So on her behalf and on behalf of the Democratic Party, I'd like to welcome all of you. And with that, I'd like to say that we are especially grateful tonight to have the Grant County Food Policy Council be one of our co-sponsors. Alicia Edwards will help us understand how you would spend $10 million. And she's here to help us get the election facts as moderator, Alicia Edwards. Alicia is the executive director of the Volunteer Center, working to end hunger and poverty in Grant County, increase self-sufficiency and resiliency. She is co-chair of Grant County Food Policy Center and New Mexico Strategic Leadership Institute member. Alicia.
My goodness. I'm glad I didn't look up. I would have been really nervous a minute ago. good evening, everyone, and thank you for being here. I really appreciate all of you being here and all of you speakers for being here tonight, sharing your time. I think that we're all here tonight because we care about our community and families in our community. And so I am looking forward to a good discussion about this ballot issue. I'd like to thank the Miller Library, the organizing committee, for all their hard work, and all of the organizations that are co-sponsoring tonight's forum, and the timekeepers. So we're here tonight to discuss the proposed gross receipts tax increase to be determined by special election. The tax to be levied is an increase of 0.25% on all gross receipts tax collected in Grant County. The tax would fund capital outlay projects, which would be determined by the Grant County Commissioners. Ballots for this election will be mailed to all registered voters in Grant County on July the 29th and must be received by the county clerk's office no later than 7 p.m. on August the 19th. They can be walked in or mailed in, but if you mail it and it's not there by 7 o'clock on the 19th, it won't count. I'm just going to talk for a minute about what the forum format will be. And I just want to remind you that our goal tonight is a constructive and respectful conversation about this very important voting decision. Our speakers panel will go first. Each speaker will have 10 minutes to talk about their views on the tax increase and the proposed projects the increase would fund. Speakers, you'll get a 2-minute warning and a 30-second warning when your time is up. Please finish your sentence and stop speaking. Once the panel is finished, audience members will have an opportunity to speak. We will do this by having audience members line up at the podium. If you are physically unable to get to the podium, we will accommodate you. So please let me know if that's an issue. Please do not start lining up at the podium until the last panelist is finished speaking. Try to remember that tonight our objective is to listen, and it's very hard to listen when you're thinking about where you will be in line at the podium. In order to ensure that everyone who wants to gets to speak, each person will have 2 minutes to make a statement or ask a question. Please begin by stating your name and specify who you would like to answer your question. You will get a 30-second reminder when your time is up. Please finish your sentence and stop speaking. The specified panelist will then have 2 minutes to respond. And you will also get a 30-second reminder, or warning, really. Once they're finished, if another panelist wants to respond to the same question, they may do so with 2 minutes to speak. If you have more than one question, you're welcome to go to the end of the line and have another turn when everyone else is finished, and if we still have time. Our goal is to be done at 7:15 to allow plenty of time to have dinner afterwards, which will be in the hall between here and the student center. The panelists will be available after the meeting to talk with you individually at the dinner. Regardless of what our individual positions are on this topic, I believe that each and every one of us is here tonight because we care very much about our communities, our neighbors, our friends, and our families. We care very much about what happens here in Grant County. So I ask you to keep that in mind, respect each other, and remember that it is just as important to listen with your heart as it is with your mind. We're going to start with Grant County Chairman, I should say that different than that, Brett Kasten, Chair of the Grant County Commission. Chairman Kasten is a fourth-generation Grant Countyan. He was elected to the commission in 2010. He is currently the commission chair. Chairman Kasten graduated from NMSU, went off to the corporate world, didn't like it very much. When his father became ill, he came back to run the family business, and as he put it, never looked back. Chairman Kasten, you're up.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having us tonight. I know everybody's appreciative of the rain. There's nothing like having a good rain to soothe the nerves. I'm just going to go through kind of how this all came about. And those of you that have heard this over and over, it's probably a good time to take a break or something because it's going to be the same thing. But about 2 years ago when Dr. Shepherd showed up, he came to meet with me. And in that conversation, one of the things came up. He said, "What would you like to see most out of Western?" And I said, "You know, one of the things I'd really like to see at Western that I really miss, and I know the kids in my communities, because I was raised in Baird, they miss baseball being at Western. They miss being able to be educated at Western with a baseball scholarship." And I just kind of left that as it was, and we talked about it for a few minutes and went on. I didn't think much about it. Probably 6 to 8 months later, he says, "I got an idea. Have an idea how to bring baseball back." He says, "There's some things, some hoops, and I know he's going to talk about this, so I'm not going to talk about it tonight, that we need to get through, but I think I can bring baseball back." Well, in the meantime, he let Economic Development Group had identified Western as the number one economic development driver in the community. I'm also a member of that. So we spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to get Western involved with the communities, with this mining district, with the county. We started having, it wasn't monthly meetings, but it was bi-monthly. There was nothing really put together, but we started talking about projects, things we could do. The mayor at the time, well, the mayor now, and Joe both agreed that the county would be the best one to fund this. I have told him I really appreciated thinking that way. It made sense, though. Overall, if you're going to have countywide projects, maybe everybody in the county should participate in the funding of those projects rather than just the town of Silver City people. So we actually had made appointments with Bond Council and Bendix and Hyatt in Albuquerque. Met with an attorney up there and were rudely surprised that counties could not go out for bond issues. The only way we could do this is through a gross receipts tax. That's how the gross receipts part came up. It may have made a little less sense at that time for the county to be continuing to take the lead. However, everything in the county purchased that's not food or medical or public transportation would be taxed, and it would be enough to borrow about $10 million. I'm going to continually say about because interest rates fluctuate. We never know exactly what you're going to be able to borrow at the time. When this tax passes, we'll know exactly what we can borrow. So we started talking about projects, and we started meeting with constituents on the street, talking about what do you want. There was no formal process at the time, and we had a laundry list that was so long that you couldn't hardly get through it. We basically came up with some ideas that it had to be good for a lot of people in Grant County, and it had to have an economic driver component. Now, there's been a lot of talk about this as economic development. No, there's not a project here that is truly economic development. All the projects together are an economic driver. All of them put together make Grant County a better place to live. If you look around at the surrounding communities that have started to lose their infrastructure, and when I talk about their infrastructure, I talk about the things that make it pleasurable to live in their towns. We're starting to lose some of that infrastructure. We are losing, in the last 10 years, we have lost 26% of our school-aged population. In the last 30 years, we have lost over 50% of our school-aged population. That's tearing at the very fabric that holds our community together. I love our retirees. I love our tourists. I want them to continue to come. I want my families back. You may argue that some of these projects have nothing to do with family. That's your prerogative. However, if you look at the towns very close proximity to us that did not step up at the time when they were losing their families and see where they are. TRC, Lordsburg. I have unbridled hope that Grant County does not travel those paths. I truly do believe that our best days are ahead and that we can become something that we've never even dreamed of. So with that being said, I have one other little tidbit of information. I know that there's a lot of talk about how the county didn't give people enough participation on the projects. You know, all the projects weren't picked by the county. The only project that was truly picked by the county was to finish the conference center. It needs to be finished. It is so busy. It was only open 5 months last year, and it earned $70,000 on that portion, $60,000, somewhere in there. If it had the ability to be partitioned off to where I could use it more than once a day. Sometimes a project takes 2 days because it has to set up and be put back down. We could be way higher than that. I don't know exactly. And I'm not going to spend the $100,000 or $50,000 that people have suggested we spend to find out. We can either vote this up or vote this down. One other thing, the commission has the ability to invoke up to 3/8 of 1% of gross receipts tax without allowing anybody to vote on it. And I'm not being curt when I say that. What I'm being is letting you know I think enough of your opinion to allow you to vote. So I think it's very important that you vote yes or no. So with that being said, thank you very much for having us, and I look forward to questions.
Thank you, Chairman Kasman. Our next speaker is Peter Burrows. After
4 years in the Navy. He returned to Michigan State University and obtained an MBA in finance. He spent most of his career as a portfolio manager and investment analyst at Wesow Insurance. He also worked as an analyst for the Wall Street firm of Oppenheimer & Company. He is an investment consultant for Unger Capital Management. He's been here about 7 years. He's the chair of the local Tea Party in 2011 and author of the column Libertarian Leanings for the Grant County Bee. Mr. Burroughs?
Thank you, Alicia. How's this sound, folks? Okay? I couldn't have written that better myself. Alicia asked me to give some generic comments on the appropriateness of using tax dollars for politically inspired investments. In the 40-plus years that I was involved in investment business, ladies and gentlemen, I was never a compassionate, visionary investment genius. If you want to be a compassionate, visionary investment genius, you got to get elected to public office. So I am surrounded by genius here. Unfortunately, living in New Mexico is really not a laughing matter, because we're going to be paying through the nose forever, because this is ground zero, folks, for taxpayer-funded visionary investments. When I first moved here, the Rail Runner was getting rolling. Bill Richardson's genius investment. The commuter rail goes from Berlin all the way up to Santa Fe. It reduces congestion on I-25. It reduces pollution. It was only going to cost $155 million of our tax dollars. And it would have the added distinction of being the only mass transit system in the world that had no masses to transit. It was a work of genius. Well, we've got it now, and the actual cost is not $155 million, it's $834 million, over five times what Choo Choo Billy said it was going to cost us. This is typical. If you're an investment, what is this? I wrote it down here. Compassionate, visionary, investment genius. You don't worry about details like a $700 million cost overrun. Those are details for petty people with petty little taxpayer minds to worry about. And then we hear it only costs $20 million. It's only $20 million operating losses every year to run the rail runner. Well, and that most of that's being paid for by a general increase in the grocery receipts tax up in the four counties it's served by, so it's pretty trivial. But in my finance textbooks, operating income and loss was before interest expense, before depreciation. Gee, the interest expense for the rail runner is $43 million. The depreciation is at least $20 million, so we've got a total loss on this taxpayer-funded visionary investment of $80 million a year, and it's going to go on forever. The primary beneficiaries are the public employees that work in Santa Fe and live in Albuquerque. Now, you can't blame Howie for it. He wasn't in office. Neither was Rudy, and I know Howie. If Howie would have been in office, you'd have voted against it, right, Howie? You would have voted against it. Now, Diane Hamilton, bless her heart, voted against it. But then, to prove that being a compassionate, visionary investment genius, it's bipartisan. She turned right around and voted for the next great big idea that Richardson had, which is the spaceport. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a $200 million piece of cement out in the middle of the desert so that a multi-billionaire, Richard Branson, can play Buck Rogers, or Spaceman Spiff for you younger kids. He could have built that himself. We could have given him the land. He's worth, at last count, $4 billion. He could have sold some stock in Virgin Airlines. But he didn't get to be a billionaire by doing dumb things. And the spaceport's, I'm afraid, a dumb thing. See, nobody asked a very fundamental investment question to Spaceport. What is going to be the competitive threat to this investment? And today, ladies and gentlemen, there are 8 licensed spaceports in America, 4 more waiting in the wings. The next one to go will be Spaceport Colorado, located 30 miles out of downtown Denver, with a 7,000-acre industrial park sitting there ready to be developed. And Governor Hickenlooper says this is going to be great because we're already number 2 in the aerospace industry. We've got an educated workforce. Number 2 in the aerospace industry. I wonder who's number 1. I bet you it isn't New Mexico. And I'm afraid that the spaceport is a doomed investment. It's just not going to work. And I remember at the time, by the way, Branson was only paying us $1 million a year to use the facility. That's quite a deal for him. And if he gets upset, he can pay us $5 million and take a hike, and we're holding the bag. This is really quite an amazing deal for him. At the time, anybody who was opposed to this spaceport was a nearsighted, mean-spirited troll. You know, think of all the economic development we were going to get from it. Economic development is always a big one. It was going to, the kids of New Mexico were going to get jobs out there, and they were going to go out and watch the launches, and they were going to be inspired to take math and engineering, and I'm not making that up. And of course, there were 200,000 tourists that were going to come see us the first year that Branson made his launches in 2010. Yeah. And all the intellectuals were in favor of it. I remember the Sun-Times started one of their editorials. If we build it, they will come. You know, that's a line out of Field of Dreams, starring, what's his name, Costner. That was not a documentary. That was a movie. Which brings me full circle to one of the ideas that our local set of compassionate visionary investment geniuses have proposed, and that is a $3 million cinema multiplex that we're going to build first. Build it first, and they will come. I'm going to build first and look for an operator. And ladies and gentlemen, don't do that, Brett, please. It's just not the way you do it. Try to find a piece of land that we can lease to somebody to develop it for $1 a year for 10 years with an option to renew for $2 a year for another 10 years, just to be cute. And then you peddle the investment. You go say, here, I've got a piece of land for you. Will you build a movie theater here? I talked with Nick Seibel about this, and I suggested that maybe we ought to get Cinemark to come up and take a look at it. Cinemark is a New York Stock Exchange listed company. $2.5 billion in revenues. They run 500 theaters, 5,000 screens. They got 4 units up in Albuquerque, and they're located in Plano, Texas. Call them up. Is there any place in this town you'd like to put one of your theaters? And since they're in Texas, they're probably good old boys. Good old boys got corporate jets, so they'll just hop in that corporate jet. Well, if they don't have a corporate jet, they're not good old boys, but they'll come up and see us. And maybe they won't, but I would pay them to come up. I'd say, here's 10 grand, come see us, and I want your signature on a lease or 2 pages of why we can't have a movie theater in this town. I would get a professional assessment of why why this movie multiplex they want to put up is either a go or a no-go. But you don't put a nickel in it. You don't invest in the darn thing and end up with an empty building, or worse yet, a building that should be empty but isn't, because we're continuing to throw tax dollars at it. That is reason. I hope Dr. Amon Smith will be talking about multiplex theaters when she talks. But that's reason enough to vote this down. It is a very poorly thought out use of $3 or $4 million. But the number one reason to vote it down is the bond. The funding from the bond is going to be $10 million. Half of it is going to go to support this university. The name of this university is not Western Grant County University. This is a state-supported university and facility. It is a terrific benefit to Grant County because money from all over the state comes in here. if it becomes a burden on the Grant County taxpayers and it's not so great an economic benefit for us. And I know Dr. Shepherd would love to have the legislatures in Santa Fe pay for some of the things he wants, but he came from a relatively wealthy state, Florida. This is not a relatively wealthy state. We're a relatively poor state. We're a relatively poor county within the state. And ladies and gentlemen, to think that economic, how many minutes I got?
30 seconds.
Oh, you missed it. Okay. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I do not think that a swimming pool and a baseball field are going to be economic developments for this area. We've got 4 or 5 baseball fields they could use, including the beautiful one down in Baird, named after Diane Hamilton, who somebody. They could use that one. And if you for $35 a month, you can go swim over at the Billy Casper Wellness Center.
Okay, so, Mr. Burroughs.
Am I through?
You're done.
I'm through. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Senator Howie Morales, who represents the 28th District of Southern New Mexico. A lifelong resident of Grant County, he was a Silver High School and Western New Mexico University graduate, completed his doctoral studies in education management and leadership from New Mexico State. Senator Morales continues to be a community activist, ranging from coaching to activity promotions in our area. He serves on the Legislative Finance Committee, Senate Finance Committee, Legislative Education Committee, and is chair of the Rural Economic Development Committee. Senator Morales.
Thank you. I want to first of all say thank you to the individuals who invited me to be on this panel. As we go through and we have a discussion, I was asked to be able to give a perspective from the economic development standpoint, as well as from the election side, as having previously served as a county clerk, understanding that process there. Coming through, I'm just like every individual here, as I have a vote with the ballot, yes or no. The county commission, the city, and the university have worked closely together to be able to put this forward, and I appreciate the opportunity that we've had to discuss some of these issues and some of the concerns that I've had with them as well, and I'm hoping that we can have some more discussion through that today. But I want to first of all say that I appreciate everybody coming in today, because there's one thing that makes Grant County special, and it's the engagement that we have between our citizens, and want to make sure that we have the best possible services provided, not only today but in the future. And that's very important to me, you know, having 2 young children. Obviously, there's times that I think, you know, maybe there's other opportunities in other areas that we can move to, but this is my hometown. This is where I was born and raised, and we've made the commitment to stay here to do what we can to make this the best community that there can be possibly in the state of New Mexico, and I'm committed to that, and I appreciate the discussions that we're able to have here. And when we go through and we talk about economic development and where we're at, I'm very cautious as far as our taxpayer dollars and where they go and what they're used for. Peter makes some great points as far as how money was spent. I came in at a unique time in the legislature. I came in 2008. That was a tail end when New Mexico still had surplus of monies. And I saw the way money was spent. And I saw the way projects were developed and they went through, really not critically thinking them through. Then the following year, we hit the recession, and I saw the behaviors that took place there. So it was a great learning experience right from the beginning to make sure that I'm protecting as best we can the taxpayer dollar. And now as we've turned it around and we have surpluses there, it's important that any project that we go through and fund, that they're thoroughly vetted, that we ensure that we're doing the best we can to meet the best possible needs of the citizens of New Mexico. So that is something that's extremely important to me. As chairman of the Rural Economic Development Committee, one of the changes that I wanted to make sure that we made, I sat as a member of it in the past, but I wanted to make sure some changes that took place, because I saw when we talk about economic development, a lot of the thought process was, what can we do to sell our communities or sell our state to bring industry to come in or bring businesses to be able to come in and have these employees or these employers have many employees that they're able to hire. We've seen this locally in our community, and it's very frustrating when you have a Stream and a Teleperformance who are able to get some of the tax breaks and only stay around for a little bit, then they leave. My thought process in the economic development component is how we can go through, and yes, we need to be able to go through and attract as best we can, but we also need to look at economic gardening. And what are we going to do in the economic gardening side to help grow what we have within? to help foster and to help develop what is within our state. And I'm a firm believer of working from the inside out, meaning that you help develop and you help grow and you help shine what we have from within. Then the outside can't help but to be able to see what it is that we have. They're going to want to come in. That means we got to improve our, definitely we got to improve where we're at with our rankings in childhood welfare. I mean, that's not going to improve economic development in our state. We have to improve education. We have to be able to improve many areas of our state to be able to attract economic development. So talking about economic gardening, I think that there's some discussions that can take place today of things that may be able to be done within our local community, but with the critical eye of how is it going to benefit individuals in this county, ranging from Hurley to Memphis to Buckhorn, all the way through anywhere in between. And so that's some of the concerns that we've had here, and I've had discussions. Some of the projects that are out there, I want to ensure that most of all, and I know that Chairman Kasten and President Shepherd has heard me say this, is I want access. If it goes through and the voters approve it, I want access for community members, because our tax dollars that are going to be used for this, it's important that there's ability to be able to use those services. Regardless of where the projects are, where they end up to be, hopefully we can have some discussion with that today. But as we go through and we talk about what it is as far as the tax increase and what it'll generate, I sat on the tax policy committee, and one of the things that I see constantly is, and you learn to ask some of these questions, is, okay, how did the $10 million, how was that generated? Where did the estimate come? How is that revenue estimate developed? And those are things that hopefully we can get answered as well today. It's my experiences that when you have tax breaks that are given, they always seem to come up higher than what was initially reported. When you have tax revenues that are supposed to come in, they always seem to come in lower. So my concern as we go through and talk about the election side of it, it's going to be an all mail-out election. And historically speaking, mail-out elections tend to have a more positive, favorable approval rate than going to the polls. So this is going to be a mail-out election. I want to give an idea of where we're at in 2012. There was 3,574 that voted for this, and it was, I believe it was a 911 question that was out there for emergency services. There was 551 that voted against it. So there's 86% that voted in favor of it, 13% that voted against it. But if you look at the total amount of voters, there's 4,125 voters that voted. There's 22,000 registered voters in Grant County. I bring this out because it shows the engagement and the need for people to make sure that they have their voice heard. One of the things that I've cautioned and seen living here in the community, and at the time I was a county clerk, in 2005 the county passed it was a bond basically that went through, and it was to fund our detention center. And it passed through, and there was presentations that were given. Chairman Kasten wasn't in there at the time, but there was presentations that were given with this, and this was what was going to be done, and if you voted for it, this is what we were going to get. Well, it took several years for that to happen because the amount that was requested didn't meet the amount that was for the facility. What we ultimately got was something that was not originally presented. I present that to the city, to the county, and to the university to ensure that we avoid what happened there, because if a voter goes and fills in their ballot, they need to know exactly what it is that they're going to be voting for. They need to know exactly what it is that they're going to be getting in return for the tax increase that's there. And I think that we'll have some discussions that is right there, but as a county clerk, you know, at the time the county manager had just left right after that, we heard the brunt of it. You know, we heard people that were not happy whatsoever that we passed a tax increase. Our citizens had been paying for that for years, and yet we still had nothing to show for it. And once it was passed, or once it was built, it wasn't exactly what was originally presented. I bring that out because I want to make sure that we do have the dialogue today, so that way the voters, it's only fair to all our voters that we know exactly what it is that's going to be in place, and then for each of the voters to go through and decide what is best for our community. I stand behind as far as seeing the fiscal responsibility. Those are things that we constantly have meetings with our local governments. I want to make sure that our audits are in place. I want to make sure that financially that we're fiscally responsible. And I can say that I'm very proud of our communities in Grant County who have made those improvements, whether it's the town of Hurley, Baird, the county who under this commission has done a great job of getting their audits in place and on time. What that allows us is the access and the ability to be able to bring in monies.
And we know I'm one senator that represents three counties. In Bernalillo County alone, you have 8 senators. So each senator having a pot of money that you're able to go through and to improve your communities, it's spread out. So any dollar that we can bring in, whether it's USDA dollars, whether it's Colonias dollars, whether it's appropriations given from the legislature, I want our communities to be responsible and ready to be able to accept those. And I can say that from the university to the county to our local government and cities, that they've done a good job. And I appreciate that, because that's dollars that come in to our local communities to benefit each and every one of us. So with that, I look forward to more of the discussion, and hopefully I've been able to give kind of a perspective of where I've been coming from, and really have tried to ask questions to avoid anything that we've unfortunately have had to deal with in the past in Grant County. So thank you.
Our next speaker is Dr. Joe Shepherd. Dr. Shepherd assumed the office of president of WNMU on July 5, 2011. Prior to arriving at WNMU, Dr. Shepherd served over 15 years in senior level leadership positions at Florida Gulf Coast University. Throughout his years at FGCU, he held positions of chief student affairs office, chief business officer, and chief financial officer. During his tenure at WNMU, Dr. Shepherd has overseen the reorganization of the university into 5 colleges, renovations of campus buildings and infrastructure, and the building of new student housing. Dr. Shepherd.
Thank you. I appreciate it. First of all, I want to say thank you to each of you. I continually am impressed with the dedication, the turnout, the emotions, both whichever side you may be on, of this community, because it's a community that cares. And I've oftentimes said I came from a community of about 800,000 people to, of course, Grant County has 20-something thousand people in it. And what we lack in quantity, we clearly make up in quality. So thank you for being here tonight. So far, the 5 projects have been roughly mentioned, but for the record, let me just go ahead and state what we're looking at. We're looking at, as mentioned, baseball, and that would be to take Baton Park, take one of those fields there, turn it into a setting that can have collegiate baseball, as well as state championships or anything else of that nature, put some lights in, some turf, et cetera, so it can be used year-round. We at Western, what we want to do at the field is simply play our home games there. Our practices would be elsewhere, because we don't want to dominate the playtime on that field, because we believe that playtime should be for the residents and for the children and for the people of the mining district, or if any of the rest of us want to go down to Baird from here, that's also fine. So that's about $600,000. Then there's this little thing called a swimming pool. Now, most of you know that when I came into town, the pool had been shut down. It had been leaking 9,000 gallons of water a day. Put it in perspective. For those of you who have residential pools, that's about the size of a residential pool being leaked a day. We had an underground river that was flooding one of our basements here. Now, to repair that pool, we also discovered that to make it NCAA, if we ever want to have a competition team, we need to add about 8 inches to it. It was built back in the days of yardage, and we're in the days of meters these days. And so that would have to be constructed if we wanted a women's swim team. We need a women's swim team, or at least 2 other women's sports, and we're looking at track, soccer, and swimming, so that it balances out on the gender equity side so that you can bring back baseball. Because in the NCAA rules, you have to have the same amount of money going to the women's sports as you do to the men's sports on the pro rata of your gender in your setting. So, for example, we have about 63% female here at Western. Therefore, you have to make sure that balances out in your sports. So that's the reason for that. But when the pool was operational, many of you swam in it, and it was a constant battle between the competitive swimmer and the casual swimmer and the rehabilitation swimmer and the exercise swimmer. What do I mean by that? Well, competitive swimming requires 76 to 80 degree water temperature. I'm not a swimmer. I am not. If you get me in a pool, I want it to be about 95 degrees. Okay? So some of the rest of you, I can tell, feel the same way. So the idea is, right next to the competitor pool, we'd add in about a 3-4 lane 25 meter pool. It'd be about 5.5 feet deep that you could keep at a higher water temperature. This serves both advantages. You have the competitor pool for not only the college, but also high school swim clubs and so forth. And then you have a secondary pool that the community can use for all sorts of things. And even if there's a meet going on in the competitor pool, there's no reason why the other pool can't continue to be operational. It provides you the best of both worlds. That project would be $4.3 million. Then you have a conference center. Conference center, for those of you who may not know, is that center next to Ace Hardware that the county owns, that they received some money to redo the front of the building and the parking lot and so forth. But there's still the interior and the roof to do. And that's about another $1.7 to $2 million. Then, of course, we've heard about the movie theater. The movie theater, the estimates that I've heard, are around $3 million to build the shell and so forth. There's a lot of conversation about where that movie theater should be located. I'm in favor of letting the public decide. Have the county go out for a process. Downtown wants it, put in a great proposal. Baird wants it, put in a great proposal. Someplace in between, put in a great proposal. Cliff, I recommend you do the same thing if there's anybody representing Cliff out there. But movie theaters, of course, oftentimes we point to Deming. People are heading to Deming, and what do they do when they go to the movie theater? They don't just watch a movie. They see the movie, they get some dinner, fill the car with gas, come back. Guess where that money stays? Deming. Now, I've heard some rhetoric and read some rhetoric about how that movie theater is going under. And what I know is only what I read, and I've heard the rumor that it cost $8 million to build that theater down there. But it's not just a theater down there. It's comparing apples to oranges. You have other amenities, a bowling alley and other sorts of things in that setting. And so there's some additional operating costs. And just because something's going under doesn't mean it's managed correctly. Some of us in here may have had businesses that we've had struggles with, and we've managed to persevere through that. Now, back to the university. The final piece is golf. You know, a lot of people talk about golf, and they think it's an elitist sport. There's a little camp that goes on every year out at our golf course that helps out hundreds of kids who come from impoverished, underprivileged backgrounds. They learn to play golf there. Not only that, golf happens to be an amenity sport, meaning that if you want to get conferences here, which boost your taxes and your other revenues, help out our businesses that are closing downtown and elsewhere, provide for opportunities for money from outside to be spent here, you have to have additional amenities. Think for a moment for those of you who may like to gamble. And you go up to, I don't know, go up to Albuquerque, to that little resort up there. Go over to Redoso at the Inn of the Mountain Gods. They happen to have a golf course. And that golf course, I don't even think it still makes money. Why do you think they have it? Because they want those patrons who are gambling to bring their family members with them and keep that money right inside that resort. Folks, we're talking about an investment here. I hear a lot about economic development. We're planting a seed of the tree that's going to provide shade, not for you and me, but for generations to come. I said this the other evening. The mine's not always going to be around. It's just not. Let's prepare for that future now. Let me give you another example. Detroit, Michigan. I think that's been in the news recently. 1950 had 1.8 million people. Today has 700,000 people. A decline in population equals a decline in revenue equals a decline in cities. On Tuesday night, some of us spoke to the Tea Party, and I really appreciated those folks inviting us. And somebody mentioned the Angelou study that we spent a lot of money on. Let me tell you about the Angelou study. Strengths. It noted Western New Mexico University as a strength. What else did it note? Our nursing program. What did it say was an opportunity? Growing relationships with the community. Now, I remember when I interviewed, a couple gentlemen sitting in the front and sitting in the middle challenged me. What are you going to do to bridge the gap to bring the university back into the community? I'm doing it. Now I'm going to ask you, the voters, what are you going to do to bridge the gap to bring the community back to the university? That's in part what this is about. They listed in weaknesses, some of our weaknesses, lack of high-paying jobs and amenities to attract and retain young adults. They listed another piece of weakness, limited quality of life options. I know we hire here faculty, salaries range 50 to 100,000 depending, plus benefits and so on and so forth. Those are good paying jobs. But guess what? I'm competing against every other university in this country for those faculty members. These are national searches to bring in the best and the brightest. The same is true with staff. The same is true with students. I'm competing against the Arizonas and every place else out there in terms of what that means. What this bond election is about quality of life, is about our future. And I challenge any business owner who says, well, we're a poor state. Well, if you want to become a wealthy state, you need to invest. Every business knows that. And I'm simply asking, let's invest our future. Thanks for having me here.
Our next speaker is Dr. Linda Amon-Smith, a native New Mexican who has finally come back home. Dr. Amon-Smith is a member of the graduate faculty of the Poole College of Management at North Carolina State University. Her areas of expertise are management, innovation, and entrepreneurship. As well as being active in research and teaching, she has been a serial entrepreneur and a manager in corporate America.
I'm going to try to get a little closer, and I'm going to try to not squeal with the speakers. So I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what did that woman do to her hair? This is my summer cut, and I heartily recommend it. It keeps me cool. So are you guys with me? Wave me? Wave, wave? All right, good, good. All right. Every year. I want to start out by saying that tonight we are not really going on about particular projects. Not really. And I also want to say something that might be surprising. We're not actually really talking about quality of life. And we're not actually talking about infrastructure. And we are certainly not talking about economic development. I brought a show and tell. Now, those of you who have taken courses, this is old school, I know. Can you see it in the back a little bit? Can you see what this is? This is Economic Development 100 in 2 minutes. An economic development process really is looking at the bucket where the money flows. Up at the top, we have big faucets or little faucets. Those include things like big businesses, small businesses, grants like Senator Morales suggested from nonprofits, perhaps some things like education. Our friend here does represent, and the facilities we are on is a large economic development engine in Silver City and Grant County. And tourism, which I believe is actually a larger influx of money than even WNMU. That might have changed in the last year or so. Yeah, these big faucets, they pour in money, and hopefully we recirculate it like mad in here. We'll go out and buy something at Morningstar and go out and take a day trip to Fort Bayard. But you recirculate money within your system. And then, alas, you have what we call leakage. See those pipes out? All right. So economic development is all about turning on the big faucets, recirculating in the bucket, and trying to turn off the leaks. That's what economic development is really all about in a nutshell. So keep that in mind. We're not really talking about infrastructure. If I say the words infrastructure, what do you think? Roads. Anything else? Bridges.
Sidewalks.
Sidewalks. Oh, sidewalks. High-speed internet everywhere. All right. Now, you know, the town of Silver City actually does have a community process where we go and we talk about infrastructure. And that's what we talk about. Last time I went, I remember we talked a lot about stormwater runoff and curbs. What's in here? My sidewalk! I walk around my neighborhood a lot, and today when I was taking a walk, I just picked up pieces of the sidewalk, okay? Yeah. So that's infrastructure. That is infrastructure. Now, I'm going to tell you also that the Grant County has an approved infrastructure plan. And if you look on the approved infrastructure plan, like Commissioner Kasten said, the only project that's been mentioned in all of this talk is the conference center. And it comes in at about $1.8 million. And I love the idea of developing a business plan to use with that conference center, because if it can really pay back revenue as well as being a place where we can do things as a community, then that might be good. But I just want to remind you again, Mostly when we hear about these projects, we're not talking really about economic development. Where's the pipes? And we're not talking about infrastructure. And I've got bad news for you. We're not talking about quality of life either. There's a huge, huge literature, experiential literature and investigative literature on what's called community quality of life development. And if you look at what are identified as being the things that really improve the quality of life in a community, the first one is education. Education. And I'm talking education all the way up, preschool on up, and I'm not talking just sports. I'm talking education. There are other things in there. Access to green open space. No. I'm pulling out my show and tell here. Honoring the arts and culture of an area. That really, really makes a big difference. When we talk about economics here, we don't talk enough about what the artists do here. They bring in stuff. There is a big factor called youth engagement and development. And sports often is, or at least not just playing sports, but having interactions where the sports teams do things that go beyond the play. They learn teamwork. They get a lot of mentoring. That really often is a part. But even beyond sports, there's what's called youth development. Now, I'm just going to say it out here. When I look at the sheriff's report and the police reports, I count about half of those things are domestic disturbances. If there can be youth development of really helping those young people learn how to speak and deal with the violence in their lives, that really can help them plant that seed to be better citizens along. So that's always on there. And the last thing, just on the list, it doesn't mean it's not important, Alicia, is, this is my big show to tell, all right? Healthy living. Healthy living. That means that you have access to good food, good nutrition, plenty of it. You don't go hungry. This comes from a local supplier here. Thank you, Farmers Market. So I just want to reiterate that those are the things that we know from the research and the literature and from other communities that communities can do about quality of life. And quality of life processes have a long history of validated processes of community, full community engagement, full community identification of what is the problem, define the problem. Then community development of what could be some solutions, going through a process of choosing the few that can be done, and then working on them together. That process wasn't done here. I dare say that process was a choice and was not done. The reason we're not talking about, 2 minutes, awesome, perfect. The reason that I can say that we're not really talking about these projects is because they are not on the ballot. The ballot that you will get says that vote for or against a gross receipts tax to be used for capital outlay for infrastructure projects. So if you hadn't come to this forum and you got that ballot and you read infrastructure, you might think sidewalks. It says it can be airport, right? So what that is the ballot has taken the direct language from the statute that says that these are what capital outlay ought to be on and has put that on the ballot rather than directly tying it to the projects, which has been the practice in all other counties in New Mexico. All other counties in New Mexico that have had these kinds of referendum elections have specified the projects, so that the people know what the projects are. So, What we have is we're going to hand the commissioners a blank check. Maybe $10 million right away for a bond. I don't know. Bond rates are pretty low right now. But there's no sunset that's been agreed upon for this gross receipts tax. It could go on forever. It could go on forever. So I'm going to invite y'all to line up.
Okay, so we will start the public input part of this process. If you have something you would like to say, you may line up at the podium. I'm going to very quickly tell you, remind you that you have 2 minutes. I'd like you to state your name and direct the question. Go ahead.
Okay, is this on? No. Now is it? Yeah. Now it's on. Yes? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll just yell, okay? Shelby Hallmark, I'm from Silver City. Been here for 2.5 years. Love the place. I'm very glad we can be here at this lovely university, and thank you, Dr. Shepherd, for that. And thanks to Senator Morales, the greatest senator in the state of New Mexico. Thank you very much. My question is for Commissioner Caston. Linda clearly laid out the fact that in many elections of this kind, other counties have taken the opportunity to give the voters a chance to decide on whether they approve of Project A, B, C, or D. Also, there's an alternative whereby you could have gone with a quality of life proposal that would have entailed the establishment of a committee or a council to advise the commission on public input on possible projects. You didn't choose that. You chose to do a yes or no plebiscite on the tax increase. Just for the purpose of all these folks here, if you could tell us why you chose that method.
First of all, the projects, did you leave, Shelby?
I'm still here.
You still got your pen?
I got my pen.
Okay. The projects that were decided upon with Mayor Marshall and Alex Brown and John Sari, Dr. Shepherd and myself, some of those were not eligible under the quality of life projects. We did have, and I know that there was not a lot of participation, but we did have 2 hearings, one on the resolution, which a few people showed up. By far and away, the majority approved of the project, so we passed the resolution. When we adopted the ordinance, nobody showed up to speak about it. We felt as though everything was fine. So I think that there was some public participation that just wasn't used. The other part of your question, well, I talked about the quality of life project. What was the other part?
Split it up to
what, on the ballot. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. We left that to our bond counsel. He sent us the ballot and told us this is the way we ought to do it. I'm not an attorney. I don't write questions on ballots. That's where that came from. Our bond attorney is Perry Bendixson from something Hyatt.
Hi, my name is Simon Ortiz. I'm a local businessman. I'm going to vote no, but that doesn't mean that I would not support some of those programs. I'm not sure I like the movie theater, but the university has to be spearheading whatever is done. What I'm looking for from the university is a think tank mentality. I was in grad school and I learned why Ford was successful, why the Packard brothers were successful. But the best thing I learned is in the company I worked in, I justified spending $500,000 to upgrade the pneumatic tool system. I expect that from you, Dr. Shepherd. You have a room full of MBAs. Use them. Use them to tell us how successful the conference center is going to be. We need to hear that from other than a politician. And sorry, Brett.
That's fine. I'm not a very good one.
So there's a lot to be said. We need something like this, but we need a roadmap. Use your MBA students. Use me. The last part is how we need an infrastructure in a friendly construction atmosphere. I've built a building, and I'm completing a reconstruction of another one, and I am viewing the construction and permitting process as nothing more than a punitive process. It has nothing to do with helping the small businessmen improve what they own. You've heard about it. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Alex Ockletree. I have Billy's restaurant. My family has been in Grant County for 52 years, which by Gila standards is still considered just passing through. I think there's something here that is wrong with the way this whole thing is perceived. And that is that I hear it from so many people, this sort of cherry-picking attitude towards this proposal. I hear, well, I don't like baseball, but I want the movie theater, or I don't play golf. And you know, that's just really the wrong, and it's a very selfish attitude. This is about the community, not about you. And I see so much of the reaction to this thing being, what's in it for me? And it's not about you, it's about everybody. It's about what's good for our kids, what's good for the community as a whole. And please think about that for a second. Think about what this might be for your friends or your friends' kids or somebody that you know that plays golf or plays baseball or I don't play golf, I don't play baseball, but I know that those things are gonna benefit this community. The other thing, and I think you guys are underestimating the economic impact of this thing. In terms of business, when any industry, any business is looking to locate or relocate, they are looking at the quality of life for their employees. Do we want to bring our employees to this community? What have they got for us? What have they got for the people that are going to be working for me? Am I going to have happy workers? Do they have a movie theater? Do they have a golf course? Is there a baseball scene? This is a big, big part of bringing business to Grant County, is having these amenities. And I think you've got a very well thought out proposal, and I like it, and I'm voting yes. Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Sandra Lucas, and I've been a property owner here in Grant County for 20 years, and have had a business and also own a home for 18 years here. Well, I'd like to thank everyone for the input this evening. And I really like a lot of the projects. I want to say that up front. However, the main difficulty I have, and it's already been addressed, is the ballot. I'd like to respect people in the community for what they're doing, but I really have trouble when it's not an honest ballot about what is really proposed. How do we know that any of these things will ever be done? Nothing about that is on here, and I think if you want to give the community and people a choice, you need to do as Senator Morales said, and that is make known what is really the plan. And for that reason, I will vote no.
Hi, I'm Bruce McKinney. I'm a local businessman. And I'm the kind of person that would normally love to vote for a thing like this. I would love to, and I don't have to agree with everything. I'll vote for yours if you'll vote for mine. And I like the idea of having this paying a small amount of tax, and this is a small amount of tax, for these kinds of projects. I just don't like the way that these projects were chosen. And I have a question, and it's for everybody here, and that's how many of you were consulted? How many of you had any direct or indirect way of saying, of input to anyone about what are the five best projects that we should put on the ballot? And I know I never was consulted, and I doubt that most of us were. And I don't think these are the five best projects. And I would have liked to have seen a regular process where various groups would have an opportunity to present their ideas in public, and then the commissioners would choose the best ideas available. And some of these ideas are okay, but I'm not sure they're the five best that we could have come up with. The other thing is that, in my experience, a lot of kids do leave this community, and they're not leaving because they don't have a theater or a swimming pool or a baseball stadium. They're leaving because they don't have jobs. And if this is going to produce more jobs than what I think, but you know, any one of us can look at the list of these projects, and you know, they're just not really producing many jobs.
My name's Gordon West. I have a pretty long list of questions, but I only get to do one, so I'm going to try to do the funnest one. Then this is for Lynn Amon Smith. Can you give us, in from an academic perspective, a description of the difference between an investment and a boondoggle?
Absolutely. An investment actually brings back value to the community. A boondoggle just goes on and takes your money.
So how do you tell in advance which is which?
You get a bunch of MBAs together and ask them. No, it's analysis. It's analysis. With all due respect, it really does not take $70,000 or $50,000 or $20,000 or $10,000 or anything to sit down, go through some scenarios, talk to some subject matter experts, look at some, do some due diligence and look at previous projects that were done in other places, and do some pro forma ideas about what really is going to be happening with any kind of a project. Do I get 2 minutes? I have to tell you that one of the reasons why I'm up here and I'm being so passionate is that this summer I taught a class, an online MBA class, with some really smart professional MBAs, and at least four of the modules were about identifying improvement projects, the ideation, choosing them, and going through a clear decision-making process with a community, and then identifying which ones you would want to do and moving towards a lot of analysis. And as I'm teaching these students this truism, which is, if it's all your money, do what you want with it. But if you're working with somebody else's money, evidence and critical thinking are paramount. And I realized I don't think there was enough evidence or critical thinking in these.
Since this has come before us and become before this...
Oh. Who are you?
Kyle Johnson, thank you. Some of the things that came to my mind since this has become before the public is, who can name the commissioners who presided over the planning and construction of the Grant County Administration Center? If you recall that fiasco, that thing which put Grant County into a kind of receivership where the state had to come in and take over its finances. Do we know who those people's names are? Can we name the members of the board of the current EDA and its predecessor organization, and how many of those names are the same? The one who put through the stream deal and the telecom or teleprompt or whatever the other one was.
Teleperformance.
Teleperformance, thank you. Do you know those? I want you to think about those. I would like for you also to think about this process where, as has been stated here, extreme charm offensive here with this material, these printed materials, the website, the meetings, et cetera. Thank you very much for the information that we at least know that much. But putting it on a special ballot where it's weighted toward statistics show that the fix is in, essentially. The statistics say that it's likely to pass under those circumstances. I wish that there had been, if we're going to have a special ballot, that there had also been a recall of the commissioners, and you could vote on both at the same time. That's what I would like to have seen. And one last thing that Commissioner Kasten mentioned was the lack of participation.
Kyle, your time is up.
I was at recent county commission meetings where 100 people were in the room, and you ignored what they said. That was on the diversion project.
Kyle.
Let the mic cool off, because hi, I'm Lucelena Carbajal. I'm a student here at Western. I'm a future social worker. I'm working towards my bachelor's in social work, my minor in sociology. And I'm not up here to bash on the panelists or anything. My statement or ideas might sound simple or stupid to some, but I'm glad that he mentioned the youth. You know, we talk about quality of life, and, you know, we talk about not needing this or that. You know, like he said, it's not about just one person. It's about everyone. You know, everyone coming together. I have 4 daughters, and I have a granddaughter. And I think if there was a little more out there, maybe my 16-year-old would not have gotten pregnant. You know, we need more things in the community for our youth to do. Like they say, you know, the youth aren't leaving because they don't have a baseball field or they don't have a pool. No, you're right. Half of them are ending up in jail. They're ending up in the juvenile system because there isn't anything to do. I was lucky enough to have Senator Morales coach, you know, a few of my nephews in baseball. And you know what? I think if it was not for that program, my nephews would not have had direction. And they are where they are today because they had a good role model, because they had those baseball fields. The swimming pool, I'm all for it. I'm sorry. I have 4 kids. I can't afford to pay $4 a kid to go to the public pool. If I'm a student here at Western New Mexico University, which 3 of my daughters are dual enrollment students and just got A's on their classes, sorry, I have to toot my own horn. If they're students here, they can come. They can come swim for free. The movies, you would not believe how much I spend for me and my 4 daughters and my boyfriend to pay to go all the way to Deming in gas, food, putt-putt, golf, movies, whatever. It's ridiculous. I think it's a good idea. Yes, we need honesty and we need things to be a little more planned out and we need to be more informed. But I do think that us as a community need to be more involved. We need to ask questions, especially, you know, for our youth, for the kids. You know what? They are the future of this community. And I'm voting for it. So thank you.
I'm Julian Reyes. I used to be the plumber here at the university and recently got terminated. But anyway, a strong supporter of the union, fighting for it, and I agree with the good quality of life here in Silver City. This is my community. You know, I've got 30 years here invested, you know, so I got roots here. And I think this administration has created such a toxic environment, you know, here, and allowing some of these management, you know, supervisors and directors to just run wild and doing whatever they want. And so, like I said, there is such an abuse of power here. And anyway, I support a lot of these projects. I'm for a swimming pool and a movie theater and some of these other things. But to spend, you know, to raise our taxes and whatever, when we have an administration that really doesn't care for the quality of life of some of us that have been here for quite a while, you know, our livelihoods have been disrupted. I was looking forward to retiring here, you know, and like I said, quite a few from the maintenance department have left and some terminated. And so I can't support, you know, somebody that allows stuff like this to just go on. And so this really isn't a question. It's just a statement, you know, to just let people know of what's going on. I don't know how many people are aware of what has been going on. I exposed part of the gas leak thing. And so anyway, I was retaliated. So like I said, the infrastructure here is pretty messed up. And so anyway, that's all I got to say. So.
Chris Allen, homeowner, and I have a couple of statements. And the imposition of county capital receipts tax. Why does it say we need to build another jail? Why does it indicate construction of another airport facility? Why does it indicate that money would be used for that? I have a question for Howie Morales. These five projects that we've been talking about, they're not listed. They're not listed on this ballot. What about lights for the tennis court? There's a lot of people that use a tennis court over there. That would be a good thing to invest some money in. I think the community, maybe some people can use Billy Casper Wellness Center for swimming. Dr. Shepherd said track, soccer, and swimming are possibilities for women's sports. Why not soccer? Why do you need to spend so much on a swimming pool? Why can't the women play soccer? Can't they get out there on the field or something?
Real quick, that would be one. We will need 2 to 3 sports to be able to equal the one baseball. Baseball is a male sport, and under NCAA gender equity, Title IX, you have to spend that pro rata share for each sport. So soccer is one of those sports that we're looking at.
Thank you.
So, pardon me, but before you start speaking, the library has asked me to keep track of the time. So I see that Gordon is back in line again, and so we're going to take the next 4 people. I'm sorry, Gordon, you're... but we're just going to do the next 4 people, and I would encourage you, if you have not gotten your question asked or your statement made, to see these fine folks after this forum, and there will be dinner served out in the lobby, so you can talk to them while they eat. Go ahead.
I'm Athena Wolf. I'm a former small business owner who's paid gross receipts tax. It was mentioned that New Mexico is one of the poorest states in the country. I want to remind people, though, that New Mexico has already the highest maximum gross receipt tax in the nation. This is my understanding. It runs from 5.125% to 8.6875%, depending on the locality. I just wanted to contrast some of the other taxes that are paid. And this isn't a form of a question for the county commissioner. It's a question because I don't know the answer. And I wonder if these are possible revenue sources. It's a contrast to me because these are minuscule percentages. Timber corporations are paying 0.375% on what they take out of the forests. Molybdenum mining is 0.125%, potash 0.5%. There's a resources excise tax for timber and mineral. Oil and gas proceeds have a withholding tax. These are all fairly small taxes. There's a corporate income and franchise tax. The ad valorem tax on the owner of each copper mineral property, and a conservation tax for mining. Is it possible to increase any of these instead of further oppressing small businesses who actually contribute to economic development?
Thank you.
With all due respect, Ms. Wolf, I think most of those taxes you listed are resource taxes, and they're at and above grocery receipts tax. However, I know the senator would be a whole lot better to answer that question than myself. I don't believe that New Mexico's grocery receipts tax is one of the highest in the nation. Arizona is substantially higher than we are, and we do not charge grocery receipts on food, medical, or public transportation. The only thing you pay taxes on is durable goods. And services, excuse me. You're right. No, cars have a different tax.
The information I got about the percentages that resources are paying was from the state government website. That's what they said the percentages were.
Senator Miles?
Thank you. Thank you. Apologize if that wasn't working. I'd be happy to be able to research that for you. I don't believe that we are the highest in the nation, but I can definitely get the information. I'd like to be able to see the link that you were able to access that from, because if there's misinformation that's put out there, we want to make sure and get that to be correct. Before you leave, if we can just get your information and to be able to get you the right answer, because it's important that we're accurate in the information that we give out there. So thank you.
My name is Earl Montoya. I was born in San Lorenzo. I went to school here in Silver City. I grew up at Chihuahua Hill. I went to college at New Mexico State, went in the service, and then I worked for NASA, retired, and came back. I've been in the community for almost 20 years since my retirement. I have a bunch of questions that haven't been answered that do not make me at all comfortable with this bond issue. One of the issues is that I want this to be a quality university, not just a good university. I don't see that the bond is going to have us have a quality university. There's some ethical issues that are going to take too long to explain, so I won't get into those. And there's a whole bunch of issues that there's just not time enough here to discuss. I'm concerned with the way the bond is presented. And I have a question for Mr. Burroughs. The bond issue, the way it's presented, is an open issue. Now, my consultant is a friend that was a tax lawyer, and he was a consultant for Washington, D.C. under Marion Barry. And he and I have talked about this bond issue. I'm going to use a four-letter word. He said this bond issue is a four-letter word. Caca. Okay? He says the bond issue just leaves the door open the way it's presented on the ballot, completely open. And they're asking you to do what President Obama asked us to do on health reform. You know, wait till it happens, and then we'll see what happens, and you'll get all your answers. That's not a satisfactory answer. I'm really concerned because of a report that Dr. Shepard made back to the Gila EDA, I think it was in February or March. He spent a considerable amount of time up in Santa Fe, and he came back and he made the statement, correct me if I'm wrong, New Mexico is the most, if not close to the most corrupt state in the nation.
Mr. Montoya, your time is up.
Mike. Well, I'm not sure why, if I'm the right guy to ask, but I certainly agree with you. I think the bond, or the wording on the balloting should be a heck of a lot clearer. And I might add one more thing to that, too. Not only are we giving them a blank check, but once the university gets a hold of the money and spends it, we have no recourse for that. Now, Dr. Shepard's a great guy. We all love him. But the next guy comes in, he might decide to lock the doors on the pool during summer hours or noon hours or whatever. That kind of concerns me, too.
I'm going to speak to that.
And we just don't have enough accountability in it. But Brett wants to say something.
Yeah, prior to Dr. Shepard getting any funds from the county, the city actually has taken the lead on this, and there will be an agreement that guarantees the people in Grant County access to facilities, because actually you have to do an MOU and a lease back. It's pretty complicated, but there will be a guarantee of access.
Thank you. My name's Tony Trujillo. I born and raised here in Silver City for 60 years of my life. Never left Silver City. I come from a huge family here in Grant County. I too was born and raised there on Daniel Street, Chihuahua Hill. So I think previous speaker and I have something in common there. I wasn't going to say anything tonight, but the indicate that this is not a quality of life issue really is disturbing, because I too brought a show and tell. This is Riley, my granddaughter. And I'll tell you what, we're losing a bunch of quality of life issues here in Grant County. I want her to stay here in Grant County when she grows up. And thank you. So a lot of this issues, and I want to thank the university, the county, and the city for actually getting together talking. For how many years have I sat in positions where people are approaching us and saying, you know, nobody talks to anybody. Nobody talks. And here we are. This is a great forum, and I want to thank the people that put it together. This is excellent. We need to have a lot more of this. And I would tell you that the ballot question, you know, we can talk to that to death, because, you know, what's the question? I mean, you know, you heard the issues is that you don't trust that the projects that have been listed here are not the projects. The language is what the language is. There's no question that the projects have been discussed. So just let me close in saying, you know, I'm not an economic development person either. I'm just a guy that grew up here in Silver City. And to lose the conventions, to lose the baseball teams, to lose all the people that come to Grant County to spend money by not putting this project is wrong. My whole family is voting for it. Thank you.
So I just want to say that this person at the podium is our last speaker. When he's finished, I'm not in charge.
The young guy finishes.
Keep going. Keep going. He says keep going. See, I'm not really the boss here, so go ahead.
My name is Jason Quimby. I'm from here. I wasn't raised here. Well, I wasn't born here, but I was definitely raised here. Quimby isn't really a name you hear around here a lot, so I'm not that well known around here, but I did grow up here. And from what I remember of this town, there's a reason why it actually brought me back here. But what I'm seeing now is that it's actually slowly being bled away. I actually remember downtown when we used to have like the Gila Theater. We also had the Silco Theater open then, and the Real West, which is, everybody knows, just left us. Now to me, I remember even when the Real West itself had the little putt-putt area out there as well. Now those are great memories to me, and that's what actually brought me back. Now to see those things actually be leaving, that hurts me, because that's one of the things that made this place special. It's not just the arts, it's not just, you know, baseball, exactly. But I'll tell you one thing, Dr. Shepherd is right on one thing. When I left here, I went to Las Cruces, New Mexico, to attend NMSU. And when I left, there was one reason why I left, and it was because of baseball. Dr. Counts, I believe, he took the baseball program away from here. And that was one of the things that turned me away. Now, if you guys don't know, this is a huge, huge baseball community. Now, to bring something back like that, I think would be great to us, as well as another cinema here, a multiplex cinema. Now, I'm a young adult. A lot of people may not think the way I do in this room, but there are a lot of those people aren't here today as well. Now, I think I can sit here and say that I speak for all everybody, because my generation seems bored this town now. I'm voting yes.
Thank you.
Wow, I didn't even have to twist my way in here. I'm impressed. My name's Nick Seibel, and I've actually lived in Silver City my entire life, except when I was at college in Tucson. And when I left, I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to come back until I'm 55 or 60, and I look forward to that day. I was lucky enough to be able to get a job that brought me back to this community, and hopefully I'll continue to have jobs that allow me to stay in this community. An interesting point was made earlier about stream and teleperformance. I have an interesting perspective on that because I was on the incentive review committee for the town when they made their proposal, and I was on the town council during the term of the stream incentives. And when you talk about how we need jobs for the community, that's one example of how you get jobs. And if you go talk to Alex Brown at City Hall, he'll tell you that that was a net gain for the town. We paid all that money in the rent. He can show you why we got more money than we paid them back in terms of gross receipts income. But man, it made you feel dirty. It was an ugly, ugly way to have a few jobs. And I've always said Silver City's future is really that we're a great place to live. We have the Gila, we've got all these great natural resources, we've got amazing people. And we have to work to maintain that. And the real economic development in this community is maintaining quality of life. I can't say that I'm 100% thrilled about every one of these projects. And I've stood at a lot of podiums and railed against an awful lot of people on the county commission in particular about projects that I've really felt like they've mismanaged. But we've reached a point where we need to invest in our own community because no one else is going to do it for us. And so I have to swallow my my mistrust, and I have to trust that these people up here are going to do what they're going to say they do, and I feel like I've got some accountability from them if they don't. The last thing I want to say really quickly is, Linda, you've been a very vocal advocate opponent of the multi-screen theater, and one of the great things about leaving this thing open-ended the way they've done is it's going to go out to that RFP process, and it's going to go to the people of this community, the entrepreneurial, business-minded folks, to put together a solid RFP. And that money from this bond issue could go to make a great project happen. And I have to say, having looked at it personally, I really believe that we can do that. And it's not a county-owned building, but we've got some tools in place here that I think can really make great things happen. But again, you got to trust the people in charge. So.
Exactly. May I respond? Since Nick spoke to me. Nick. Yes. Nick! Don't leave me. Let me tell you that I am one of the first to say that by pooling our money and working together for our greater common good, we could do great things.
Sure.
And Dr. Shepherd said something. He said, you know, you got to start doing something. I'm just going to tweak that a bit. You got to start doing something smart. And my concern is that once the money starts flowing, people will leave, people will forget, and stupid stuff is going to happen.
I hear you. And
Nick,
I'll say
done.
Really,
nope.
Really quickly.
We have, look, we,
I
you
know,
can't,
we
no, you're done.
We elected these people, we have to hold them accountable, and if they don't do it, then we have to replace them.
You're done.
I'm Robert Wiedemeyer. From Santa Clara, I just want you Servorites to know that there's somebody outside the city. And I want to congratulate the commissioner. This is the first time I've seen a commissioner, although again, it's in Silver City. So I would encourage you to get out to Hurley, to Bayard, to Santa Clara, and to meet the community where they are, not us have to go to the mountain.
I'm in Bayard every day.
Okay, well, that's good, because I haven't seen you in Santa Clara and you're invited.
Okay.
The other piece that I have, I think, is to look. I read the council's resolution, and I just have a question for you, Commissioner. This seems to be the gift that keeps on giving. I have not seen a sunset on the tax.
There is not one.
Why is there? I mean, I would request that we have a sunset. You hit the $10 million mark, it goes ding, ding, and it goes back. We never get taxes back once we're done with these projects, and I don't want a slush fund.
You know, I think that probably could have been done at one time, but that boat has sailed. At this time, it is what it is.
Okay, well, I mean...
I mean, I'm just being honest with you. At the time we made a...
You're just hearing from me on what I don't like. Because yes, I think this would have been a tremendous opportunity to do it right. The second piece of it is, as I read the resolution and I read the projects, there's no tie-in with the projects to the resolution, which means that it couldn't be bait and switch. I hope it isn't. But,
you know, that would be disingenuous to the public, and I will not do that.
Well, I get it on the record so that we can go from there. The third part, for me, is just the process. I really think that Grant County is more than Silver, and Silver is not all of Grant County. So that's not to be offensive, but just to say we're asking people in the county to pay for these things. We need to go out where they are and to do some education. And then, Mr. President, I've got to ask this. Why don't you pay for your own swimming pool repair? System of higher education. I thought we have legislative representatives. I think we fund.
Sir, your time is up.
Anything? Why are we not getting this done through our statewide educational system?
There's a couple reasons for it. Under the how universities are funded, there are certain types of money that go toward infrastructure and et cetera.
Capital repairs and maintenance.
Sure. The swimming pool is not considered an academic usage facility. And so therefore, that kind of money that would come to a university, I can't spend it on that project. So I'd have to get a special appropriation, which we tried to, the first year that I was here, last previous session. Second to that, you know, this university on the swimming pool, every meeting I've attended, just about, I've had somebody ask me when that pool's going to get repaired. It's interesting to note that I've only had, in the 2 years I've been here, one student ask that question. So this is indeed a community issue. And I think it's fair for us to join together and all ships rise on that rising tide. But it does have to do with the funding formula and how we get paid.
I don't think, since the election ballots go out tomorrow or this next week,
Monday.
I don't think there's any time to change this process.
Sir,
I would sure like to see it go back to what it was, go back to the drawing board, and then come forward.
Your time is up.
James Baldwin, county resident. As I spoke to the county commissioners yesterday and attended their budget finality meeting, I was informed that the county receives from the federal government $1,870,000 from PILT. PILT stands for Payment in Lieu of Taxes. It is a government, United States government freebie to us. And if our convention center renovation on the interior is going to cost about $1.8 million, why doesn't the county use this $1.8 million that it's receiving free gratis from the federal government to do the renovation and not have this in a bond issue that the people in Hanover, that the people in Hachita or Buckhorn have to support? That's just a statement. I'm not soliciting a response. The gentleman before me did answer one of my questions, or had it answered, and that was the sunset. There's no sunset on this. I find that deplorable. Everything should terminate, whether it's the offices that you people hold or whether it's one's life or whatever, but things do have terminations. I also believe in free enterprise, and I do not see free enterprise here for a movie theater. If that movie theater were a viable entity, it would have been taken over and accomplished by free enterprise. The Flame Convention Center thrives, at least it tries to, even with the conference center going on. We have the Bessie Merle Forward building with two conference centers there. We have the Fine Arts building with conference centers there. Cory Caminos, which is a funded entity, has put Glenn Lovato, who had the Silver City Grant County taxi, out of business. Cory Caminos also put the kibosh on Gopher Taxi because those free enterprises cannot compete against government spending. Thank you, and I hope you vote no.
Howdy, here I am again. Bill Carlos, 40 years. I got some comments. I don't know if any of you ever went to Real West like I did all the time. There was hardly anybody ever in there. No, I mean, I didn't see children lined up. I didn't see people getting turned away. I think maybe it has something to do with the lousy movies coming out of Hollywood. I can't believe that we've lost a population because Real West closed a year ago okay. The second thing is we got the Baird Community Center, brand new, 7,000 square feet. We're gonna give money to Baird for the baseball field. Well, can't we use their community center? I installed the kitchen. I know it's got a full kitchen. Third thing we should point out, as Mr. Shepherd pointed out, I've been in the solar energy business for years. These pools cost a fortune to heat, and you got to heat them in the summer. We must be spending, with all the municipal pools around here, about $1 million, I'll bet, in natural gas. Ungreen, no greenness in that. And the final thing is, I'm trying to create jobs. I've been pushing for us to make copper things here. We need to come up with maybe hundreds of millions to produce a secondary refinement capacity, and then we should be making pipe, tube, sheet, and pay people $20 and $30 an hour. When I moved here in 72, the average wage out at Kennecott was $20 an hour. I know that sounds crazy, but in 1972, those unions had them getting $20 an hour. The county was booming. We could go and eat all night long. There were things to do downtown. We need to bring back high-paying jobs. This thing has got maybe 5 part-time jobs. Thank you.
Okay, so in closing, I just want to thank the panel and all of you. There is dinner in the lobby, and since we went over, you have to run out there and eat really quick. Thank you.
I want to thank all of you for being here. And really, this was one of the great forums. We're looking forward to our next forum, the 22nd, and it is going to be on equality, and do we need another civil rights movement? I hope you'll all put it on your calendar. The forums will begin at 6:30. The students will be back, and panelists, thank you. Thank you very much. Everybody enjoy the food.